Imagine this for a second. A really critical part of a company's operations, it just, well, it grinds to a halt. Production lines go silent. Maybe essential services are cut off. Perhaps even, critical patient care is threatened. Why? A strike. And the immediate question for leadership, it isn't just if they can get back on track, but how quickly can they actually do it? So this deep dive is all about strike staff deployment. It's this high stakes, really incredibly intricate process of getting replacement workers on site when a workforce stoppage hits. We're pulling our insights today from your comprehensive guide, Rapid Strike Staff Deployment, a guide to business continuity. Our mission really is to unravel the true mechanics of this rapid response. We want to uncover how quickly it can realistically happen, what factors truly speed things up or slow them down, and crucially, what makes a deployment successful beyond just, getting warm bodies in the door. You'll walk away understanding the critical levers that keep businesses moving when a strike threatens to stop everything cold. Okay, so when that dreaded workforce stoppage hits, what's the immediate, the most pressing question keeping leaders up at night? It invariably boils down to, how fast can we get a qualified strike staff in place?
Right. And what's crucial to understand here is that the urgency, it isn't just about optics, Every single hour of downtime during a strike, it translates into truly tangible, costly consequences. I mean, really costly. We're talking about massive lost revenue from halted production, a potentially damaged reputation with crucial clients, the public, and even substantial risk exposure in safety-critical environments. Think hospitals, power plants, chemical facilities. This isn't just about quickly filling empty shifts. It's about maintaining fundamental business continuity and protecting critical functions that, frankly, impact everyone.
And that really underscores why that clock starts ticking the moment a strike is even, imminent. So, okay, what's the fastest this can happen? The guide says that with the right prep and significantly the right strategic partner, deployment can often happen in as little as 24 to 72 hours.
That's right. That window is achievable.
And that kind of speed, I mean, it can literally mean the difference between staying operational and suffering an incredibly expensive, maybe even catastrophic shutdown. Mm-hmm. You think about industries like healthcare, logistics, manufacturing, utilities. Every moment of downtime isn't just lost profit. It's a cascade of problems for countless people. But here's an early thought, maybe. Getting people in the door quickly is one thing, but getting effective people in and keeping them productive, that sounds like a whole different challenge.
Exactly. While that 24-72-hour window is absolutely achievable for some, it's definitely not a universal guarantee. It just isn't. And this brings up a really important question. What exactly separates a truly rapid deployment from one that's, well, more prolonged and painful?
Right. So how did these deployment speeds actually stack up in the real world? We can really think of it and say, three distinct categories, and each one is pretty much defined by how much preparation has gone into it beforehand. First, you've got rapid deployment. That's the coveted 24-72-hour sweet spot, the goal. Yeah. And this happens when a company has truly planned well in advance. We're talking proactive stuff, like pre-negotiated contracts with specialized staffing agencies, actively maintaining rosters of people who are already qualified and thoroughly vetted, and critically clear ongoing communication between management and their staffing partner. It's all about anticipating, not just reacting.
Being proactive, yeah.
Then there's what we call standard deployment. This typically takes maybe 3-7 days. If an organization hasn't done that crucial upfront work, it just inevitably takes longer. This window allows agencies the time to recruit from national pools, handle all the essential background checks, licensing, compliance requirements, and then arrange all the necessary travel and housing logistics for replacement staff, who are often coming in from out of state.
Right, because you need to bring them in.
Exactly. And finally, there's complex deployment. This can stretch out maybe 1-2 weeks or sometimes even longer. This usually happens for really large scale strikes or maybe highly specialized niche industries or, deeply regulated environments. Think highly unionized healthcare systems or specialized energy facilities. This extra time is needed for things like extensive industry specific training, really intricate credential verification for complex roles, and detailed onboarding, especially for those safety critical positions where there's just absolutely no room for error.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, you can clearly see how preparation fundamentally dictates the timeline. It just does. The more specialized the role, or the more regulated and complex the operational environment is, the more absolutely crucial that pre-planning becomes. It's key to avoid falling into that complex deployment category. Waiting until a strike is imminent is basically guaranteeing a slower, more difficult, and ultimately far more costly response.
Okay, so that makes sense. Preparation is paramount. But here's where it gets really interesting, I think, because the speed isn't just about hitting some magic number, right? Several distinct factors seem to directly influence how quickly strike staff can actually be deployed.
That's absolutely right. There are five key factors that are really critical to understand here. First, industry type. That plays a huge role. In healthcare, like you mentioned, you often need specific state licenses for nurses or technicians, and these can vary significantly state by state. It's complex. In transportation, you're looking at specific requirements for commercial driver's license holders, CDL drivers, and strict Department of Transportation, or DOT, regulations. These govern everything, like drug testing, how many hours a driver can be on the road.
The compliance piece.
Exactly. Manufacturing often needs very specific, site-specific training for skilled machinists or plant operators to handle specialized equipment. You can't just throw anyone in there. So each industry has its unique, non-negotiable requirements that add layers to the process.
Okay, so industry matters a lot. What's next?
Second, union notification and timing. While some unions, particularly in healthcare, often provide a 10-day strike notice, which is a huge help, not all industries have mandated lead times like that. This makes having those proactive partnerships with staffing agencies even more vital for companies that might not get much of a heads up.
Makes sense. Need that relationship already built.
Third is geographic location. This one's pretty intuitive, maybe. Urban areas tend to have significantly faster deployment. Why? Proximity to major airports, more available housing options, a larger existing worker pool nearby. Remote or rural areas, on the other hand, face more logistical hurdles. That naturally extends timelines because of greater travel distances and accommodation challenges.
Right. Getting people and putting them up somewhere remote is harder.
Definitely. Fourth, the size of the workforce that needs to be replaced. Mobilizing, say, a few highly specialized roles can sometimes be quicker than replacing hundreds of general workers. That larger scale demands massive logistical coordination, housing, transport, onboarding for a huge number of people. It's a completely different scale of challenge.
Yeah, I can see that. And the fifth factor.
And fifth, arguably one of the most critical, is staffing partner preparedness. The experience, the national networks they have, their access to pre-qualified databases of workers, and the dedicated strike response teams of the agency you choose. These are all paramount to quick and effective mobilization. A less experienced partner. They can add days, if not weeks, to the process simply because they're essentially building the plane while trying to fly it. They don't have the infrastructure ready.
Okay, wow. So that's a lot to consider just to get the speed right. But once a strike is on the horizon, or maybe even just anticipated, what's the actual, you know, step-by-step dance of getting these teams in place? What does that look like?
Well, the process generally unfolds in five distinct stages. First, there's the initial assessment. This is where the staffing partner really digs in. They evaluate the number of positions needed or the specific roles and skill sets required. They look at the realistic timeline for deployment and identify any unique geographic challenges that might crop up. It's about getting a clear picture of the battlefield, so to speak.
Laying the groundwork.
Exactly. Second, recruitment and roster activation. If the agency already has existing rosters of strike experienced workers, which the best ones do, those calls go out immediately, like right away.
Yeah.
Otherwise, recruitment begins actively across their regional and national networks to find qualified candidates who are willing and able to deploy.
Okay, find the people. Then what?
Third, credentialing and compliance. This is a huge non-negotiable step. Workers are rigorously screened. We're talking background checks, certifications, making sure they meet all necessary regulatory requirements. In healthcare, as we mentioned, this often includes that complex state-by-state license verification. It can be a bottleneck if not managed efficiently.
Gotta make sure they're qualified and legal.
Absolutely. Fourth, logistics coordination. This is the critical backbone, really.
Mm-hmm.
Housing, travel, meal arrangements all secured. Often this means booking blocks of hotel rooms or finding short-term rentals near the worksite. Transportation to and from facilities is also key and needs to be secured to avoid any delays or complications during shifts. This can also be a big security concern in tense situations.
Right, getting them there and back safely.
Precisely. And finally, stage five is on-site deployment. The replacement workers arrive at the site. They're thoroughly briefed on their roles, facility-specific safety procedures. They get assigned shifts. And often they're supported by on-site supervisors provided by the staffing agency. These supervisors are absolutely crucial for smooth transitions, providing ongoing support and ensuring accountability and compliance once the work actually begins.
Okay, that's a clear process. But, you know, we've talked a lot about how fast staff can be deployed, and it's clear that speed is incredibly important, no doubt. But is speed the only measure of success when it comes to strike staffing? I get the feeling there's much, much more to it than just getting bodies through the door quickly.
You're absolutely right, and that raises a really important question. What's the difference between simply getting people in the door fast and actually sustaining productivity under what is usually immense pressure? The quality of the deployment, how well workers are selected, how well they're trained, housed, and ultimately integrated into the operational flow that matters just as much, if not more, for long-term effectiveness. I mean, an ineffective fast deployment can be just as damaging as a slow one, potentially even worse if it leads to safety incidents or other major complications.
That's a crucial distinction. So let's dig into those elements that go beyond just speed, the things that define a truly successful deployment. First, you mentioned it, but the logistics backbone. Rapid deployment is simply impossible without incredibly smooth, almost surgical logistical orchestration.
It's foundational.
Yeah, this includes intricate transportation coordination, right? Staff might be flying in, they need ground transport, maybe shuttles, often across state lines, just to get them to the work site each day. Then there's robust housing management, securing blocks of hotel rooms or rentals that are not only close to the work site for convenience, but also secure. That's key to avoid potential tensions or disruptions and careful shift transitions. Controlled entry, controlled exit procedures, especially in tense environments to keep replacement workers safe and punctual. It all has to run like clockwork.
It really does. Smooth handoffs are vital.
Okay, what else beyond logistics?
Well, then you have training and onboarding quickly. This is huge. Strike workers, even if they're highly experienced professionals in their field, are often stepping into unfamiliar facilities. They need rapid orientation to your unique workflows, your equipment, your environment. This involves site-specific training, things like OSHA standards, that's Occupational Safety and Health Administration guidelines, proper personal protective equipment, or PPE use, and crucial machine safety protocols. Can't skip this.
Right, safety first.
Absolutely. There's also role-based training for critical positions. Think nurses handling specialized hospital equipment or drivers operating specific fleet technology unique to the company. And on-site supervision, as I mentioned before, is key. It helps new staff adapt quickly, gives them someone to ask questions, and ensures compliance, especially in regulated industries where mistakes can be incredibly costly.
Okay, and technology must play a role now too.
Oh, definitely. Technology has become a real game changer here, significantly shortening timelines in some areas. We're seeing digital credentialing systems that can cut days off verification processes. They can instantly confirm licenses and certifications electronically. There's AI-driven roster management now, capable of instantly matching available workers with open positions based on location, licensing, prior experience, taking a lot of the manual guesswork out of deployment planning. And simple things like mobile apps for communication are delivering real-time updates and schedules directly to workers' phones, reducing confusion and miscommunication in what's often a very fast-moving, fluid situation.
That makes a huge difference, I bet. So logistics, training, tech, what about the people themselves?
Right. We can't forget the human factor. This is critical. Deployment isn't just about processes and technology. It's profoundly about people. Strike staff are stepping into high-tension environments where emotions can run very high. It's not an easy assignment. Their prior experience in strike deployments, that helps them adapt much faster to these challenging conditions. They know what to expect generally.
They're seasoned, yeah.
Exactly. Specialized agencies often provide resilience training too, preparing staff for how to handle potential protests or picket lines professionally and safely, how to de-escalate, how to remain focused, and strong support networks. Things like providing consistent meals, secure transport, comfortable, secure housing. These are vital for their morale and their overall performance. Happy, supported workers are productive workers, which directly impacts your operational continuity.
It's a whole ecosystem of support needed.
Absolutely. Now, what's fascinating here is how these critical factors, they don't just apply universally in the same way. They play out very differently depending on the specific industry. Each sector has unique challenges, unique regulatory landscapes that fundamentally influence deployment speed and effectiveness.
Okay, let's look at some examples, like healthcare. You mentioned licensing, but beyond that, there are strict patient safety regulations, often mandated staffing ratios you have to stick to. So you need to deploy not just a high volume of staff, but specifically compliance-ready professionals, like immediately. You mentioned California earlier with that typical 10-day union strike notice. Agencies with pre-vetted licensed professionals can often deploy staff in about 72 hours. That lead time is crucial for meeting those stringent standards.
Precisely. Then think about manufacturing. Familiarity with highly specialized machinery is absolutely critical. A seemingly short training delay there can cause major production backlogs and significant financial losses very quickly. For energy and utilities, you often have remote or hazardous environments. That inherently extends timelines. And workers need very specific training in both technical skills and extremely stringent safety protocols before they can even set foot on site. There's no cutting corners there.
Yeah, safety's paramount.
And in transportation logistics, those CDL drivers we talked about, they face strict Department of Transportation regulations, mandatory drug testing, strict logbook compliance. So quick mobilization needs incredibly streamlined credentialing and verification processes already in place to avoid costly fines or service disruptions.
So the industry details really matter.
Immensely. And even within industries, geographic location makes a huge difference, as you touched on earlier. For instance, New York urban centers often see faster deployment, maybe 3-5 days, compared to some other more spread out or rural areas of the state. Access to infrastructure, worker pools,
right.
It all adds up.
Right.
Or consider states like Texas and Georgia.
Yeah.
Proximity to major airports, strong existing logistics networks. That can often accelerate timelines to just 2-4 days in many cases. Meanwhile, states like Washington State or perhaps more remote locations anywhere might typically see deployment take 5-10 days. Why? Increased logistical planning needs, smaller local talent pools, meaning you have to source people from further afield.
Okay, so what does this all mean for businesses listening? Ultimately, understanding these sector-specific nuances, these geographic variations, it isn't just helpful information, is it? It sounds absolutely crucial for companies to set realistic expectations for deployment speed and to adequately prepare for a potential strike. You simply cannot apply a one-size-fits-all approach.
That's exactly it. You need a tailored strategy.
So if you're listening and thinking about how to accelerate deployment yourself, how to get better prepared, there's clear, actionable advice here. It really starts with arguably the single most important step. Establish a strike staffing plan before a crisis even looks like it might happen. Pre-negotiated agreements with a specialized staffing partner save incredibly valuable time, time that would otherwise be spent scrambling with paperwork, contract reviews, negotiations once a strike has actually begun. That foresight is just invaluable.
It buys you crucial time.
Then, maintain clear communication. Timely updates from unions, if possible, from your own HR, from executives, allow your staffing partners to anticipate needs rather than simply reacting at the very last minute. It's about proactive information sharing, making your partner feel like an extension of your internal preparedness team. You also need to prioritize critical roles. Let's be realistic. Not all positions need to be replaced on day one. Focusing resources on those truly mission-critical positions helps ensure the most essential operations remain active, keeping the core of your business running.
Focus on what keeps the lights on, essentially.
Exactly. It's also essential to use agencies with proven national reach. Local firms, they might struggle with the sheer scale and speed required for a comprehensive strike response. National agencies often mobilize quicker because they have established networks of pre-vetted candidates and existing transportation and logistics infrastructure already in place. They're built for this. And finally, prepare housing and security in advance. This isn't just about comfort, it's fundamental. It ensures safe accommodations and secure work sites, which is absolutely essential, especially in potentially high-tension environments, both to protect your replacement staff and maintain their morale.
Absolutely. Safety and security are non-negotiable. And, you know, if we connect all this back to the bigger picture, preparing for strike staffing isn't just a temporary reactive fix for an immediate crisis. It actually offers significant long-term benefits for an organization. Firstly, it substantially strengthens your overall business continuity planning. It makes you better positioned for a whole wide range of future disruptions, not just strikes.
Builds that muscle memory.
Precisely. Secondly, it builds crucial operational resilience. That's the inherent ability to quickly mobilize staff and adapt to change even outside of strike scenarios. It makes your organization more robust overall, more agile, and critically, it protects an organization's reputation with clients, with regulators, with the communities they serve. When a company demonstrates it can maintain essential operations under pressure, it signals reliability, competence, stability. This isn't just about weathering one storm. It's about building long-term trust and stability in the market.
That's a really important point about long-term value. And ultimately, there's a vital distinction here we need to hammer home. Strike staffing just isn't the same as general temporary staffing. It's a different beast entirely.
Completely different.
It demands a very specialized set of capabilities. deep experience with high-pressure mobilizations, access to workers who are specifically strike-experienced and know what they're walking into, extensive resources for complex logistics and housing, deep compliance knowledge, especially for highly regulated industries, and crucially, that on-site management during disputes. That's why partnering with a seasoned expert isn't just about the speed of deployment, although that's critical. It's about ensuring the quality, the compliance, and the sustained effectiveness that are absolutely non-negotiable in such a challenging environment.
Well said. It's about competent execution under pressure.
So we've taken quite a deep dive today into the complex, often urgent world of strike staff deployment. We've moved from understanding that initial urgency through the intricate logistics, touching on technology, and importantly, the vital human elements involved. We've seen how all these factors, from industry type and geographic location, right down to a staffing partner's preparedness, fundamentally shape how quickly and, maybe more importantly, how effectively a business can respond to a workforce stoppage. So as you consider the agility and resilience of any organization, maybe your own, here's something to ponder as we wrap up. Is the truest measure of a company's strength not just its ability to somehow avoid a crisis altogether, but perhaps its foresight and its readiness to navigate one effectively when it inevitably arises, turning that potential chaos into managed continuity?